Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. So just as we've turned the page on a new month, as we're recording this, we are turning the page into a new Bible study for this month. And in keeping with our 2018 focus on keeping our thoughts fixed on things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable from Philippians 4:8, we're going to dive into the study of keeping our thoughts fixed rightly on God in the study of Jonah this month. Most of us have known about Jonah primarily because, well, Jonah had a whale of a time one day. Maybe you remember Jonah from, childhood Sunday school class. But Jonah isn't just a fish story. But one day, Jonah was quite literally swallowed by a giant fish. And what we're all going to dive into over the next couple of weeks is, more specifically, where were Jonah's thoughts and what was Jonah's mindset all along the way that brought him to the point of being swallowed by a giant fish, and then what were his thoughts fixed upon in the aftermath of that experience. And most importantly, we're going to figure out what we can learn of Jonah's experience that would speak to each of our lives, because we know one thing for sure. God put Jonah's story into Scripture for a reason for each of us. So let's dive in. First, some background on Jonah. Jonah is introduced to us initially in the book of 2 Kings. Jonah was a prophet of God sent to instruct and to warn King Jeroboam II to return to the Lord, to turn away from the evil things that he was doing as he was leading the people of Judah away from the Lord. Additionally, Jesus himself referenced Jonah and recorded in Matthew 12 when Jesus spoke of his own resurrection being like 3 days and three nights, like Jonah in the time of the fish's belly. Now, I just mention all this background because it is really important for us to know that Jonah was not a fictitious children's story, but he was a real historical figure, authenticated in both the Old and New Testaments. And the book of Jonah is the personal account of a significant event in Jonah's life that foreshadows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Jonah teaches us that salvation is not by works, but by faith that leads to repentance. And, interestingly, the book of Jonah is read annually by Orthodox Jews as they celebrate Yom Kippur. The book of Jonah not only foreshadows Christ's resurrection, but it also teaches us that we serve a good and gracious God, a God of second chances, who does not cast us aside, even when we've been unfaithful and disobedient to Him. Now that is a message to fix our minds on. So, with this foundation of Jonah, let's dive into chapter 1 of Jonah's story and consider the message for each of us in chapter 1. Since it's probably been a while, I'm just thinking, since maybe you've read the book of Jonah, let's take a look at all of chapter 1. Chapter 1, Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will notice us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let's cast lots and find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Then he answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Here was Jonah, a man of God, who heard clearly what God had wanted him to do, to go to Nineveh, but Jonah went the opposite direction. Why? Why was Jonah, a man of God, so openly disobedient in this case? Well, Jonah hated the Ninevites, and he did not want to see them saved. Now, that sounds pretty aggressive, pretty awful. But to understand how Jonah could be a godly man and yet hate people so desperately, not anybody but the Ninevites, is to understand that Nineveh was part of Assyria. And Assyria was one of the absolute most brutal nations ever on the face of the earth. Ever in history, similar to the brutality that we hear of today from Al-Qaeda, ISIS, MS-13, all rolled together, Assyria is still worse. The torture and cruelty of those people was so widely known that people from small villages that the Assyrians wanted to conquer and just overtake, when the people would see the Assyrian army just pouring toward them and their little village, it was widely known and reported that people would take their own lives rather than risk falling into the hands of the Assyrians and the Ninevites because of the cruelty of the torture of the death that they were going to face. Well, God had seen enough of them. And he called Jonah to go and preach repentance to them, just as he had called Jonah to do prior to this to other people groups. But what would you do if you knew of this cruelty of this people? Well, Jonah ran the other way, not so much out of fear, but out of hate. Quite possibly it is speculated that Jonah even saw firsthand some of the cruelty and torture, perhaps upon friends or family members of his in the past. That could possibly account for why a godly man who preached repentance to others so faithfully, in this case, said, "No way, God, not those people." But you know, God's will is God's will, and God was certain. God wanted Jonah for this job. So God got Jonah's attention with the storm. Jonah knew it was God, and he knew he had been disobedient in running the other way. Now, could God have gotten someone else to do the job, go to Nineveh? Well, sure, he could have. But God wanted Jonah to know that obedience to God was of the utmost, and that God would not give up on Jonah, and God would not let Jonah run away. You know, Jonah hadn't even gotten to Nineveh yet, and already God was changing hearts right on board the ship itself. As the men saw and heard what Jonah said about the Lord, they turned and worshiped the Lord. Yes. God's message of hope was one that Jonah needed to hear himself, and he needed to be the one to deliver it to the Ninevites. And God was going to use a very unique event to help Jonah see that God was never going to leave him. Jonah was about to have, I guess we could call it, a mindset shift while in the belly of a fish. You know, God didn't give up on Jonah, nor on God's plan for Jonah. And God didn't give up on us either. No matter how long we might have run away or might have decided we know better, no matter how long we don't want to go and do that thing that we know very well he's asking us to do, or go talk to that person that we know very well he wants us to talk to, whatever it is that we know very well that he's asking us to do, whatever we've turned away from, procrastinated for decades, patently disobeyed, he's not giving up. He's not giving up. God is not in the market to change his mind. He's all about changing our mind, and in the process, our character. So that is what we fix our thoughts on today. That truth, that righteousness, that which is excellent and worthy of praise, God hasn't given up on us. And so we don't want to give up on ourselves. So thank you for listening, and I pray that you receive the message from God today that will encourage and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. If you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.